From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is a show where we all know that the truth will set you free, but the question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And every week we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective. That means body, mind, and spirit. That means finding a sense of balance in who we are, how we live our lives, how we treat one another, a sense of balance where, as a therapist, I know and I've known for a long time that just dealing with what's going on mentally without dealing with the emotions and the spiritual component of who we are as human beings means that there are pieces of the healing process that are not being addressed. So when we talk about holistic health, when we talk about holistic mental health, there is no difference between mental, physical, and spiritual health. And that's what my goal is on the show each week. And we deal with mental health issues, all sorts. Over the years, we've dealt with issues from depression and addictions to relationships and intimacy. And the name of the show, as you heard up front, is Tell the Truth Faster. So today, I'm posing the question to all of you is, what if everyone started telling the truth? What if everyone just started telling the truth? What if there were things that you knew that you've been withholding, that you've been feeling ashamed of or fear of people finding out about? What if you weren't carrying those around anymore? What if you just started telling the truth? Now, it's kind of like most of us think that if we all just started doing that, there would be a cosmic avalanche in this world and we all would be buried under the rubble and devastation that would ensue as a result of everybody letting go of all these things that we've been holding inside. Well, to a certain extent, that may be the case. My experience of why we withhold the truth, why we lie, is, I mean, how many of you had said to yourself, well, I told a liar, I didn't tell them that because I was afraid of hurting their feelings. Well, get honest with that one, too. You weren't trying to spare their feelings. You were trying to spare yourself from the discomfort of their reaction. Am I right? Of course I'm right. I'm not always right, but in this case I am. You know, you were trying to avoid your own discomfort. Get honest about it. Most people, and I know that I see as my closest friends, the ones that I can trust to tell me the hard stuff when I need to hear it. I know that the people that I value in my life the most are the ones that are willing to deal with that discomfort because they love me enough and they care about me enough to say the things that sometimes I'm in denial about or sometimes I'm on a self-destruct course and I am not addressing certain things, and the friends that I appreciate the most are the ones that figuratively slap me in the face and say, Stuart, wake up, you're not looking at this, or do you know what you're doing here, or, you know, take a look at it from a different angle because the way you're looking at it right now is with your eyes closed, you're not looking at it. So again, when we talk about telling the truth faster, take a look at the things that you know that you're holding on to, that you really are having a difficult time with, and what are they doing to you? Before I answer that question from my perspective, I'm going to remind you that this is a live show, and I actually am here in Phoenix this week doing it from the studio, which always feels great. I got the engineer in the next room with the window and the headphones on and the microphone. It's like it's like a real talk show host. And so the live number here in Phoenix on KXAM is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. If you're listening via the internet, as I know some of you are, because I get your emails and a caller once in a while from outside the Phoenix area, it's the same number. It's a toll number. 480-949-1310. But with all of these telephone plans now, you know those long-distance calls don't cost you anything anymore, so give a call and participate in the show. All right. So the last question I asked is, why do we lie? I think that was the last question I asked. Why do we lie? We lie because we've been taught to lie. We've been taught to lie. We've been taught by our parents, by the educational system, by religious organizations, by media. We've been taught to lie. Now, a lot of you are going to say, well, my parents didn't teach me to lie. They punished me when I told a lie. Okay? But we all know the sort of things when we reached a certain point where we saw our parents telling a lie or covering something or asking us, don't tell your father about that or don't tell your mother about that. You know, all those little subtle messages that come across that a child says, oh, mommy or daddy is asking me to lie for them. Or they're using me as a cover, you know, or, you know, the phone rings and they say, tell them I'm not home, tell them I'm not home. And the little kid doesn't understand that it's just an annoyance call or something, or maybe it's someone that you know, but you're telling them to lie for you. What does the little kid do with that information? The little kid hears a parent say, it's okay to lie under certain situations. Then how do you teach a little kid then what situations are okay to lie under and what situations are not okay to lie under? It confuses a child. A child is, their mind is still developing. A child's mind is still trying to figure out right from wrong. And it's the parent's responsibility to teach that. And to teach it not through punishment, and to teach it not through shaming and guilting and wagging fingers and slapping and sending to rooms. It's to teach them through example. You know, there's a lot of talk about family values. Well, to me, the essence of family values are parents that live a life of integrity. Now, that may be defined based on your cultural background. It may be defined on your religious beliefs. It may be defined as a lot of different things. I'm not here to judge what that cultural background is for you. I have my own. Other people have their own. But I don't make others wrong if they have certain religious beliefs or other cultural beliefs that are different from mine. If the way they're raising their kids and the way they're living their lives is one of kindness and compassion and understanding and teaching by example of what it means to be of service within their community, within their homes, that to me is setting the example for the kids about righteous living. What's right and what's wrong. Not self-righteous living, but righteous living. And a lot of you know the difference when I say that. There's a lot of people out there telling you what's righteous, self, and coming from a very self-righteous place. Not what is right and not what is wrong. In other words, how to treat people with respect and compassion, even if you disagree with their beliefs or their cultural background, or their religion, or whatever, but to help them, help your children and help yourself learn and grow from the fact that there are a lot of people in this country and in this world that just have different ways they were raised. You know, who are we to go across this country and tell the original natives of this land that their beliefs were wrong? And there are still, you know, all sorts of religions that go into Native American communities and tell them that their beliefs and their basic ceremonies and things like that are wrong and pagan and all this stuff. Well, you know, they care more for this country and more for this land, and they take better care of what's been given to all of us in terms of a planet, and we need to learn from them. So it's different, and it's not right or wrong. It's just different. And most people, again, are afraid of what's different. So we're getting back to, what if everyone just started telling the truth? So the truth is, not that I think what you do is wrong, but the truth might be, I don't really understand what you do. I don't understand why you do this. I don't understand what it is you're doing. So what if you spoke that truth instead of the self-righteous truth that says, you're wrong in your belief, you're wrong in how you live your life? what if the truth really was, I don't understand those things, and I want to learn. I want to understand it. And it doesn't mean you're questioning your own. It just means you're expanding your mind and expanding your consciousness to accept the fact that there is diversity in this world. A few months ago, I went out and I bought a number of books, basic introductory books on Islam. Right? There's a lot I don't understand. I was raised Jewish. I'm much more metaphysical and holistic even in my approach to religion these days. But there's a lot I don't understand about the religion of Islam. So rather than being afraid of it, my basic understanding of all the world's major religions is they all teach basically the same thing. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. When you get to extremists and fundamentalists, they've corrupted those beliefs. They've taken the truth of most religions and made it into their truth. And when you deal with their truth, it becomes violent, it becomes angry, it points fingers of blame, it instills fear. And anything that is fear-based is not of the truth. Now, fear is a natural human emotion that, for most of us, is a healthy warning signal that we need to pay more attention to a situation. I'm not saying fear is bad. But people who worked with fear as a way of manipulating, who work with fear as a way of shaming, who use fear instead of love and compassion as a way of teaching, then the whole fear-based thing is they're using their truth, they're bastardizing their religion in order to serve their own ego and their own sense of power. So again, what is truth? What if everyone just started telling the truth? So the truth is, for certain people, I like to use the things that I've been taught to manipulate. Okay? Why do I need to manipulate? Why do I need power? Well, I mean, we can get into psychoanalysis of that for ages and ages and ages. You know, the issue is we all need to take a look at how we're living in this world with one another. And not to so blindly follow those individuals that are spewing out what they say are universal truths without questioning. Most of us are raised in homes where we're taught not to question. We're taught not to question our parents. We're taught not to question our religion. We're taught not to question our teachers. Can you imagine a student being told not to question their teachers when they're there to learn and questions are what's supposed to be happening in that schoolroom? The teachers that are most effective are the ones that encourage questioning. Okay, I just taught you this about history. Okay? And you have a question about it. You don't necessarily understand it, or maybe you doubt what I just taught you. Let's talk about it. Not, you know, well, this is the way it is, and this is in the syllabus, and this is the way you have to learn it. You know, healthy minds are minds that are taught to question and are taught that it's safe to question. And healthy relationships come out of those minds of individuals where they're taught the question because their communication skills are established at a young age and in a healthier way. So that gets us into a whole nother level, which has to do with relationships. And to me, this is the essence of all of it. You know, I've talked a lot about religion. I mean, look how the Catholic Church has hidden and lied so much about all this sex stuff for not just recent, but this has been going on for centuries. You know, and it's not just the Catholic Church. I don't mean to point a finger just at them, but that's been in the headlines, you know. If we look at politics, what if Bill Clinton had told the truth? Yes, I did this thing with Monica Lewinsky. Just think how different his presidency would have been. He would have been embarrassed for a little while. It would have been publicly humiliating for a little while. He would have had to deal with things that ultimately he had to deal with sooner or later anyway, with his wife and his daughter and with the public. But all he did with his lying was put it off, and in putting it off, it cost this country hundreds of millions of dollars, a lot of wasted time in the newspapers and everybody else talking cocktail parties, and a lot of wasted time in politics when his presidency could have been incredibly more powerful than it was. And my personal belief is Bush wouldn't be in the White House right now if Bush, as Clinton had told the truth earlier on, because it would not have been a values issue going into the election with Gore. That's my personal opinion. Now we take a look at Bush. I don't mean to one side the Democrats here, you know, and we all know my own political beliefs if you've listened to my show over the years, you know, but you know, we know now that there were no weapons of mass destruction. Most of us figure that out anyway. There were a lot of other things that go on that the Bush administration, I believe, keeps a stranglehold of secrecy on so many things and misleads. We use the word misleads because to me that's the same as lying. You know, if you're misleading an entire country because you don't really have an answer for someone, but you know how to grin and wink, you know, that's not really giving a truthful answer to something. It's kind of diverting the attention, you know, like if, can't you believe the sweet face with this cute smile and this, you know, I mean, to me, it was never that. It was just a smirk that usually put a knot in my stomach. But it's the same thing. The Bush administration. I'd love to see our political system. If everyone in Congress, everyone in the White House, everyone on the local political scene, all of a sudden, for a day, could not tell a lie. Whoa! Could you imagine the revolution that really would occur in this country and the people that would be running it as a result of that? What was the name of that movie? I think it was with Jim Carrey, Liar, Liar. You know? I mean, look what happened in that one day where he had to go through a whole day and he couldn't lie. But at the same point, while it was chaos for a while, and it really was upsetting, so much healing took place in the course of that movie. It was a great premise. But what do you think would happen if in our political system, all of a sudden, for 24 hours, everything would come out of the closet, figuratively and literally. People would come out of the closet, in the sexual terms that we talk about so often. There wouldn't be any of this back room, behind closed doors type of stuff. Nobody would hear a statement being made and know that there's a subtext for it. We'd know the subtext. So what do you think would happen if politically, and I would really challenge some of our political listeners, you know, try it for a day. You know, maybe on the local level where you think, well, maybe it won't do too much damage. Try it for a day. Go into your city council meetings or go somewhere and speak your truth for an entire day and see what happens and see how many more votes you actually get, because I really believe that would be the end result. People would know the people with integrity. There's a lot of pessimism and cynicism in this country, assuming that every politician is lying to us. Think about it. Most people go into their election booths to vote. Who's lying to me the less? Isn't that part, even on some little corner of your mind, that that's the reality of what you think about when you go place your vote? Who's lying the least to me? Not who's telling me the truth, not now who can I trust the most, but who do I not trust, but trust more than the other? That's a sad state of events, in my opinion. Corporate. I mean, look at Martha Stewart. This woman's been in jail, the poor prison wearing stripes, and you know, I'm sure her fashion sense would totally be against stripes to begin with. But, you know, here she is, to me, a scapegoat. Yes, she did something wrong. Yes, everyone who does something wrong deserves some kind of punishment, but this kind of jail time, all the money and time that was wasted on it, where Enron execs got off basically scot-free, all this other stuff that cost taxpayers billions of dollars, they're running free. Nothing's going on with that. You know, and yes, there are cases, and yes, some people have been prosecuted, but not the way it should be, because, again, it adds to the cynicism. We know that people can break the law, can lie, can do all this other stuff, and get away with it. This is teaching our children, again, that it's okay to lie. If you can get away with it, it's okay. If you can blame someone else, it's okay. Now, With all that being said, I'm going to remind you that this is a live show. If you want to call in and rake me across the coals for the things that I'm saying or put your 2 cents in terms of your own experience or asking a question, the number is 480-949-1310. Now we're going to take this to the deepest, the most important level that I started to get to earlier, and that has to do with relationships. Now, for any of you that are listening, I want you to take a moment, and if you're driving, don't close your eyes, but if you can, close your eyes, okay? Close your eyes for a minute and tell yourself the truth about something. The truth about something that you know you're withholding and lying about in your life. All of us have something, and don't tell me you don't. Something that you've been holding on to. Maybe it goes back to childhood. Maybe it's something that you did years ago. Maybe it's just months ago. Maybe it's something you said or didn't say today. Get in touch with it. Go back to that time and place. Picture the scene. How does it make you feel when you actually stop avoiding thinking about it and go into thinking about it? Reliving it. Seeing it again in your mind's eye. I know that what it does for you, because it does the same for me, and it does it for all my clients when I do this kind of visualization with them, is you're feeling it again, aren't you? You're experiencing the words coming out of your mouth or the thought in your head that keeps your mouth closed about something that needed to be said in that moment, wishing you had done it differently, wishing that it didn't have the repercussions that it had, wishing you knew in that moment what would have been a healthier and better thing to say or do or not say or not do, but feeling like inadequate because you didn't feel you had the skills to do it right. And that is really getting you off the hook, and I mean to do that because the truth is many of us do not have the skills. It's a learned power to be able to speak your truth. But before you can speak it, it's a learned thing to learn how to identify it, to be able to be honest enough with yourself to say, this is my truth in this moment. This is how I'm feeling. This is what I want to say, and this is what I need to say, so that this is not going to have a long-term repercussion, or that we can make the short-term repercussion as quick and painless as possible. Like I said, if Clinton had told the truth right away, how much pain and suffering would have been avoided for him, his family, the country, the world, all this stuff. Even Monica Lewinsky, how much would have just gotten over with? You know, of course, Monica wouldn't have a career that she has right now, you know, if it had happened that way. So I'm sure she's glad that he took that track. You know, she wouldn't have become, I think she designs pocketbooks or something like that and done her talk shows. And I think she has a show in England or something like that. Monica would not have become the media event that she became if Clinton had told the truth. She would have been a footnote, more than likely, in the history of that presidency. That was the intern that he did something inappropriate with in the Oval Office, right? She would have had her 15 minutes of fame, and, you know, so my guess is there are some people that are glad when things turn out the wrong way because they know how to exploit it and they know how to really play it. And I don't fault her for that. I mean, I'd probably do the same thing in her situation, too. It becomes an opportunity. So there's something that you wish you had said or done differently. There's something you wish you had not said the way you said it. How do you learn how to do those things? Okay, what is it that you're remembering and thinking about right now? Change it right now. In a sense, rewrite the script in your mind, which many of us are doing anyway and have done since that moment. How many of you spend waking hours at night or dreams at night reliving an event over and over again, trying to do it differently, or, gee, if I just thought to say that in that moment instead of what I said, if I just thought to say something kind instead of what I said, Okay? All of us do that. We relive those moments constantly. Look how much energy that consumes. Look how much time that drains from you. Look what it does to your life. Now, the next step is, how is that affecting your relationships today? Okay? Answer that question. How is that event that took place in your childhood or in a particular relationship years ago or last month or last week, how is it impacting who you are today as a human being and your relationships today or a particular relationship today? Well, I can tell you some of the things that it does to me, if I'm telling the truth faster. It impacts my self-esteem. It makes me feel worse about myself. It's this ingrained sense of guilt and shame that plays at me and eats at me. And in some cases, I can think back to certain childhood things, although to be honest with you, I've done a lot of work on a lot of these things, and there's not so much from back there that weighs on me anymore. But it all makes up who I am as an adult, how I developed into who I am. And in some ways, I'd like to think it's a lot of the pain and struggle that I had back then that makes me what I believe to be a very compassionate, conscious human being today, because I was aware of these effects, even as a kid. So think about how it's impacting relationships today. Self-esteem gets impacted. You live your life in a constant state of guilt and shame and maybe fear of being found out. How many of you have that feeling that you're a fraud? That everyone around you thinks you're such an incredible human being, such a wonderful person, but you have this dark secret, or maybe a slew of them. And the thought is, if they only knew, they wouldn't think so wonderful about me. Okay? And I know for myself, knowing at a very early age I was a gay man, or a gay boy at that time, the thought was, I'm the good boy everybody loves and adores, but if they really knew the feelings I had inside, if they really knew, you know, where my thoughts go at times, they wouldn't think I was such a good guy. So I grew up with this sense of being a fraud and feeling like I have to work extra hard at really being this good boy. Very common with a lot of gay men, this good boy syndrome. You know, outwardly we are one way, but inside, even though what we're really thinking and desiring, in my mind, is a very innocent, intimate thing, there is that sense of guilt and shame that is built into it that makes it bad. And it being bad means us or me being bad. So I'm this good boy. No, I'm this bad boy. So all of these lies, this inner secret, becomes an inner torture. Now, if you're walking around right now feeling the shame and guilt of something in your past, it's keeping you from being completely intimate with someone in your present. I'll say that again, because actually I like the way it came out. If you're walking around thinking... I even forgot what I said. If you're walking around thinking, what a horrible person you are, then it's really affecting someone in your relationships today. See, that's my ADD brain. It's like it comes out and it sounds wonderful, and the truth is, as soon as I said it, it felt good, and I can't repeat it again. Don't ask me to repeat it. I'll listen to the tape later on. That's what my engineer is saying. It's on the tape. We got it. And that was another truth. ADD, I didn't know. I turned 55 last week. It was my birthday. And it was only 10 years ago when I was 45 that someone, a therapist, helped me understand the biochemistry in my brain that helped explain a lot of the stuff that I've been struggling with all these years. Now I'm very honest with people, like I just did with you guys on the phone. You know what? I just had what I call an ADD moment. You know, something went in, something came out, and it's gone, and I don't remember it. I'm on to the next thing already, and that's the way ADD brains work. And there are advantages to that. So rather than feeling the shame of what I didn't know was caused by a biochemical imbalance in my brain, you know, created a great deal of shame and fear of being found out that I was procrastinating or I wasn't organized or I wasn't as together as people thought, now I am more organized, and I don't procrastinate as much. But this is a classic case of when we know what our truth is, and in my case, ADD, biochemistry and balance, once I know that truth, I can now address it in practical ways, not just necessarily medications. Some people choose that, some don't. But in practical ways with behavior modification, with healing the struggle and forgiving myself for the way I've beaten myself up all those years because of the things I wasn't getting done and all the great ideas that always came to me that I wasn't following through on. Okay? So I've been able to get into a mode of forgiveness. When you understand something and it becomes that kind of internal truth, you start letting up on yourself. And when you let up on yourself and you learn to forgive yourself, your relationships become healthier. Because again, what are we desiring? Okay? My definition of intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection. An expression of our natural desire for connection. If you go to my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, I've done many shows on intimacy and relationships. Listen to any of them and you'll hear me talk more about this. Okay? But if intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection, and all of a sudden you're feeling lighter and feeling more forgiving of yourself, you're willing to be more vulnerable. You're willing to open your heart more. If you're not shame-based, if you're not fearful of being found out about something, if the truth is out and you don't have to worry about when it's going to come out and what's going to happen, you can show up and be more present today in the relationships you have. You can show up and be more present today, whether it's a significant primary relationship, whether it's with your kids or parents, whether it's with teachers, coworkers, whether it's with your constituents as a politician, or whether it's with your politicians where you can actually have the courage to tell them what you really think as a constituent and, you know, not just buy into the games that get played on all sides of the political spectrum. So, how does this help relationships? It helps relationships because you're lighter. You're not afraid of getting close to somebody. You can actually be honest about the fact that if I'm single, as I am, okay, there was a long time where I felt a certain embarrassment and shame about, you know, being a therapist and helping couples with relationships all the time and not being in one myself. And I've actually had a client or two actually say to me, well, why should I go to you for therapy to help with my relationship if you don't even have one yourself? All right? That's fair. And I've taken that comment from people. And the truth is, I have lots of relationships. I know what love is. I know what I desire in a relationship, and that is a relationship based on trust and integrity and truth and love and compassion and lust and all of the above that has a sense of balance to it, where it's not a constant power play. Most of the clients that come to me as couples are in such a control struggle and such a power struggle that there's no way that relationship is going to work because they're not listening to one another. They're not hearing each other's truths, and they don't know how to communicate their own personal truth to the other, again, because they're afraid that it won't be heard or it won't be respected. So here it comes into play in relationships. So I'm in relationship with lots of things and lots of people. I've been in love in the past. I know what it is to open my heart. I also know what it is to look into someone else's relationship and intuitively and cognitively get what the dynamics are that are causing the problems. So it's really irrelevant. That's like, you know, someone like myself that for 30 years has done addictions counseling. Early on when I first started to work as a therapist right out of graduate school, I was hired by a long-term drug abuse residential program in West Palm Beach, Florida, called the Link Foundation. It doesn't exist anymore. But I was hired as a night watchman with a master's degree, counting heads at night to make sure nobody ran away. And 3 weeks later, they had a counseling position open. 3 years later, I was executive director of the agency. But what did those clients do, these, you know, heroin addicts and street people and everything else? The first thing they asked me, well, have you ever shot up? And the answer is no. The truth is, I hardly did any drugs in college. That's not to say I didn't do anything, you know, but I saw my best friend from high school who was my roommate my first year. Within three semesters, his parents had to come up to school and pick him up and take him home. He was so burnt out. We're talking 1968, 1969. So there was plenty of burnout going on back then, as there is today. But it scared me. And so, no, I never put a needle in my arm. And to be honest with you, I've never done coke, and I've never done crystal, and, you know, I've not been on acid. And I was at Woodstock in 1969. I was probably one of 24 people out of 500,000 that was straight enough to remember the event. But these clients were saying to me, well, how can you counsel me if you've never put a needle in your arm, you've never done these things? Well, the truth is, for me, the truth is, I know what it's like to be afraid. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to look for something to numb myself. For me as a kid, it was food. I was a fat kid, you know. Later on, it was sex. Anything to numb. I know what it's like to want not to feel. And even doing drug abuse counseling, it was like a fresh wind that came into that program, and a lot of the clients told me, because all of a sudden we were dealing with the issues behind the behaviors. It wasn't just behavior mod anymore. It was like, okay, you're not doing anything now. You're clean. Now all of these feelings are showing up. And nobody ever taught you what to do with those emotions. No one ever taught you what to do with the beliefs and thoughts that you have that terrify you. Nobody ever taught you how to process and integrate maybe the horrors of your childhood. So it's not just about cleaning up. And those of you that are out there trying to get sober for whatever, the behavior or the chemical or whatever, you have to know, while I really believe 12-step programs are a lifesaver for people, they complement therapy and other forms of things that really help you go deeper, so that those things don't keep coming back to haunt you, so that what they call triggers, so that the things that trigger you to use don't keep showing up over and over again, and the using is your only coping mechanism. So tell the truth faster right now. If you're out there and you know that that's what you do with food or shopping and debting or gambling or drugs or alcohol or sex, and you know, I have people tell me all the time when they hear me start talking about addiction, they said, you know what, I think maybe I use sex that way, or gee, I wish I wouldn't go to the refrigerator as my option here. You think maybe I have a compulsive problem, or maybe I have an addiction? If you're asking that question, if you're hearing me and you've never said those words to anyone before, but something's ringing true inside you right now, don't be afraid of it. Call someone to help, whether you call me here at the station or whether you have someone you can reach out to, whether it's a anonymous hotline that you can call. Reach out and tell it to somebody. It's the first step in getting honest with yourself. There's no shame in it, okay? The shame is not doing something about it. The shame is, and I don't mean shame like you're guilty, shame as in sadness. If you don't do something about it, then your life becomes a path of destruction for you and everyone around you, all right? So rather than live in that sadness, learn how to process the sadness. Learn that sadness, anger, fear are all healthy emotions. They're part of being human. And that when you're in a state of telling the truth more frequently, then that fear, that sadness, that anger actually becomes something that feels good. Partly because you know you're not going to be drowning in it. You know that when it comes up, you're going to have new tools to go, oh, I'm feeling sad. What's going on? What triggered this? 9 times out of 10, it's because there's something you haven't said, something you haven't done, something that is just haunting you from somewhere, something recent, something distant. And if you really reach out to get the help, you're going to learn the tools that you need in order to do it differently. So relationships are affected when people don't tell the truth, because your body is being affected also. Remember, this is holistic, body, mind, and spirit. So when you're withholding all these things, when you are in a state or a place where there's dishonesty or withholding, okay, we now know that it causes separation in terms of your relationships and intimacy. But what else is it doing? It's also causing problems physically for you. What are most of our illnesses about? And most doctors will tell you that most illnesses are probably 90% psychosomatic. And that doesn't mean they're not real illnesses. It just means that the more you're living in stress, the more you're living repressing all this stuff, the more you're deteriorating your inner organs. You're living in stress, you're living tighter, you're living in fear. You can't breathe fully, and as a rebirth of the breath is really important in my life, the more you breathe, the more oxygen you're getting to every cell in your body, the more it can function at optimal level. I actually took my first two yoga classes a couple of weekends ago. It was a four-hour introductory yoga class with Max Strom at Sacred Movement Yoga in Venice, California. And it was great. And I could really see the interconnection of stretching out those muscles and breathing at the same time. The body feels lighter. So when you're not carrying this stuff around, you feel lighter psychically, but things start happening physical also. People tend to start getting healthier when they're speaking their truth more. They tend to start healing problems that doctors long ago gave up trying to figure out what to do. They started saving lots of money on test after test after test and doctor visits and all that stuff that takes them away from family and work and everything else and allowed them to start becoming so much more productive and so much more joyful simply because they started speaking their truth more, because their body started responding to it. Because sooner or later, your body will start responding to the lying that goes on in you and around you. All right? So body, mind, and spirit. Now, when all this is happening and your mind's feeling lighter and the body's feeling lighter, well, the essence of who we are is spirit. And if the other things are coming into play and lightening up, spirit doesn't have to lighten up because spirit is light. But what happens is you start feeling it more. It starts being, spirit starts being the place that you make your choices and decisions from. Spirit starts being the place that you feel the most empowered by. You start getting your connectedness with the universe, with the world. You start seeing the souls and the light and the spirit in other people that you meet day to day. And you start finding other soulmates. That's the word we use. We usually use the word soulmate when it comes to a primary relationship. Well, I haven't found my soulmate yet. Well, all of us are your soulmates. All of us are the same soul. All of us. I mean, I know I'm getting, to me, spiritual. Some of you may hear this as religious, but to me, this is the essence and core of living, is to see yourself as everyone's soulmate. There's not just one person waiting out there to be that soulmate, and it's just, well, if people ask me why I'm single, I don't say to them, well, I just haven't found my soulmate yet, you know? Everyone's my soulmate, you know? The homeless person on the street and President Bush is my soulmate, and most of you will probably be shocked to hear those words come out of my mouth, but we're all one spirit, we're all one mind, we are each other's soulmates. I could do a whole show on this, and you know what, I probably will now. So, if you start living in the space of being more honest in your life, all of a sudden, your light starts shining more. Your soul starts being the guide that you were born for it to be. Your soul starts being your guide, and the voices you hear in your head are your higher voices, your better angel, whatever you want to call it. When you're healing this stuff, all of a sudden, the physical stuff isn't getting in your way anymore. The fears and the emotions that you've been bottling up aren't in the way anymore. You don't have to do the work on the soul and the spirit because it's been in there since the moment you were born. It's been a part of who you are since that spark of life started dividing the cells in your mother's womb. Okay? it's there naturally. You don't have to do work on it. You just have to get everything else out of the way. And who you will be is that angel that flies, that spirit that makes the decisions, that creates a planet filled with compassion and brotherhood and sisterhood and fellowship, you know, that gives us a world that when a tsunami comes in and people are responding, they're not responding for political reasons. They're not responding to see who they can scam now to get money out of donations. They're not having a tug of war on territory because, well, this is where we're sending our donations. You can't send them there. Come on. This is ridiculous. Yes, it needs to be coordinated so it gets all the way around, but the power struggles, even in people that are, quote, unquote, doing good stuff, is still stuff that's happening from an ego place. So when tsunamis hit in all forms, whether they're personal emotional tsunamis or planetary tsunamis, people and you can be part of what rises to the occasion that brings light to those areas. Even if you don't have a penny to donate, you have a wealth of prayers and a wealth of light to send out to these people. And by doing so, you just expand the vibration of your own light and the energy that you're living in, and people start seeing it. You want to attract a mate? You become that source of light and energy. You'll be amazed at how many people are heads are turning your way, no matter what the size of your body, how old you are, what you look like, you know, what your sexual orientation is. You start living from that space, and people will start taking notice of an energy that's in their presence that they love, they are in love with. And you know what? You'll also be so much more at peace being single. If that's what you are. I'm 55, I'm single, and yes, I'd love to have a mate to travel this world with and to have these adventures with on a one-on-one level and go to sleep with at night and wake up with in the morning. To be honest with you, that to me sounds wonderful. But it's not a negative statement as to who I am in the world that I don't have that in my life right now. And there are a lot of people that feel a lot of shame and embarrassment about being single. We live in a world, in a society in particular, in this country, that doesn't necessarily value that. Something must be wrong with you if you don't have a partner. All right? Tell them they're wrong. Tell yourself that that's wrong. You are of value because you are healing these things that interfere with your ability to be a light, to find peace within yourself because you like who you are, you like the level of integrity you're living at, you have joy in the morning when you get up, you're sleeping much more soundly at night, and your dreams are guiding you, and the dreams are playful for you and instructing you, and all of that comes from telling the truth faster. Isn't it amazing how we get right back around to the title of this show? All right? So, relationships, politics, religion, corporate, it's all the same. It's all about relationships. One of my friends and teachers, Sandra Ray, in her second book, Loving Relationships, this is what she lays out. In fact, the phrase, tell the truth faster, while it's been put out there by many different teachers, came to me the first time through Sandra and the Loving Relationships training workshop I did in 1986. And it was just something brief that they said at the Friday night of the weekend. And while other people went on to get so much more out of other things, that just resonated throughout every cell in my body. And I wrote it big on a certain page, and it's been, in a sense, my mantra since. So it makes sense that that's the title I picked for this show, for my radio show, not just for today's show. You know, and I'm working on a book of the same title because I think, in fact, I was talking with my friend Michelle Kaur earlier today, and all of a sudden the thought of, gee, how about a bumper sticker that says, tell the truth, tell the truth faster. Nothing else on it, just that. If cars all over the world were having these bumper stickers on it, just think the subtle way of shifting people's consciousness about honesty. Kids would be getting it. Adults would be getting it. Someone might be driving and having an argument with someone or trying to say something and see that bumper sticker, and all of a sudden the right words will come out of the mouth because they saw that bumper sticker. Visions of grandeur, I know. But it takes that. I mean, I think back in about 1987, I was going through a real heartbreak and I was real upset, and I was driving up Laurel Canyon Road to Mulholland Drive because I love the view from up there. And when I'm feeling like I need to get closer to God and away from the chaos, I love going up to Mulholland in L.A. and looking at the lights and stuff. And I'm driving up this winding road called Laurel Canyon, and on this classic Cadillac in front of me, as I'm going through all these tears and this pain, there's a bumper sticker on the Cadillac in front of me that says nothing but the word illusions. And I looked at that and my tears just stopped and I started laughing hysterically, because that's really what all of this stuff was going on. They were illusions. They were based on the lies I've been living and the lies I've been telling myself about how things were supposed to be, instead of being more graceful about moving through the challenges right now, learning from them, and keeping my heart open to the person I was dealing with at the time. A bumper sticker can go a long way, okay? The only bumper sticker I've ever had on my car was one that is made fun of a lot, and it says, visualize world peace. There's another one that says, visualize world peace. World peace. People make fun of these things, but it's a way of changing consciousness. Make fun all you like of them, but a phrase that you see over and over again, it's called an affirmation. A phrase you see over and over again that elevates your thinking, that stops the spiraling down of a certain thought process that you are used to, works. So why not bumper stickers that say, tell the truth faster? So, my time's coming to a close here today, and I'm going to remind you again, what if everyone just started telling the truth? What kind of world would this be if no one knew how to lie? How different would personal, professional, and political relationships be if there were no games or manipulation? How do we determine what our own truth is, and how can we all learn to communicate what we really want to say and not let fear create our real-life soap operas? I mean, why do people love watching soap operas so much, right? Because they see themselves in most of them. Because they love getting away from their own drama and seeing someone else constantly struggling. You know, why do they never let a particular character find love and happiness for any more than 6 months on a show like that? You know, they're married, they have kids, and next thing you know, the husband or wife gets cancer, or someone gets kidnapped, or the kids are, you know, not theirs, and it's, you know, your father's baby, and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, it's like, these are things we watch every day. What is that affirming about our consciousness? And I know that I have a number of friends who are in these soap operas, and they'd probably be screaming at me right now. But it's the same thing with primetime TV and a lot of the talk shows. It's about drama and chaos and demonstrating the worst in who we are. So I challenge you all to start demonstrating the best in who you are. I challenge all of us, and I'm accepting this challenge too to myself, okay, to be the best of who we are, to speak our truth faster, to start telling the truth in all of our waking hours. You know what? The truth will be revealed to you even more at night in your dreams if you start doing this, because it means your subconscious knows you're ready for it. And if you're ready for it, what you're going to do after an initial run of it is you'll start attracting more honest people into your life. The type of people you truly could get into an intimate, significant relationship with. So if you want to attract honest people without games, don't just put it on your intranet bio, you know, no games, you know, it's like honest people, you know, be someone who doesn't play games, be someone who's honest. You know, don't just make it part of your internet dating bio. Be real. Tell the truth faster. So, with all that being said, I want to invite all of you to my website, tellthetruthfaster.com. It is there for you to give me some feedback, which I always appreciate, comments, questions, whether you liked something or didn't like something. Tell your truth. I can take it. All right? So I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to want you to tell your friends about it. Go to the website. Every show that I've done for the last 3 years is archived on there. So if you've missed anything or something looks interesting, you can listen to it at your own time in the comfort of your own home on your own computer. So this is Stuart Altshuler on KXAM in Phoenix saying thank you for listening. This has been wonderful, and I'll be back again next week.